Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
You know that feeling, right? You decide you want to donate to a good cause.
Yeah.
Maybe it's for, let's say, engineering education. You want to do the right thing.
Of course. So you do the responsible check. You go to a site like Charity Navigator.
Exactly. And you type in a name. For our purposes today, let's use the IncoC Foundation, and boom, the result is right there.
4 stars.
Yeah.
Excellent. Low overhead.
All the green check marks. So you feel good, you click donate, and you move on with your day.
It's designed to make you feel validated in, what, 10 seconds?
But here's the hook for our deep dive today. What if that excellent rating is, well, practically worthless? What if that quick checkup is hiding, I don't know, 17 years of mismanagement?
It's a scary thought. Because you trust those ratings. But today we're looking at a presentation by Dr. Joseph Kassa called Seeing What Snapshots Cannot.
He uses this method, temporal analysis, to show how those single-year snapshots can be, well, just incredibly misleading.
It's like judging a whole movie based on one single random frame. You think you know the plot, but you really, really don't.
And the subject of this whole detective story is the IncoC Foundation. Let's just set the stage. Who are they?
So they're the charitable arm of IncoC, which is the International Council on Systems Engineering. The foundation is a 501c3.
The charity?
Right, the public charity.
Yeah.
Their job is scholarships, promoting the field, that kind of thing.
And IncoC itself is different.
Completely. IncoC is a 501c6, a trade association.
Yeah.
It exists to serve its members, the engineers paying dues. The foundation is supposed to serve the public.
And that difference between serving the club versus serving the public is... that's going to be a big deal later on.
A very big deal.
So let's start with Dr. Kassa's method, this idea of a snapshot versus temporal analysis.
Right. The snapshot is what Charity Navigator does. It looks at 1 year of finances and asks, is overhead low? It assumes efficiency equals effectiveness.
But temporal analysis looks at the long game. Kassa pulled records from 2008 all the way to 2024. He's not asking if they're efficient. He's asking, are they even effective? Are they achieving their mission over time?
And that's when the 4-star excellent rating just starts to fall apart.
Okay, so let's get into the first big crack in the wall. Dr. Kassa calls it the mystery of the $20 bill.
And it sounds like a typo, but it's not.
It really does. So what happened?
He looked at their management fees. These are payments to an outside company, Universal Management Services, LLC, to do the admin, the books, all that.
Okay, and from 2020 to 2023, those fees were pretty steady. Around $24,000 to $28,000 a year.
Totally normal. Standard operating costs for a small nonprofit.
But then you hit the 2024 tax filing, the Form 990.
And that management fee, it drops to exactly $20.
Wait, $20 as in a one and a zero, not $20,000.
No, no, a crisp $20 bill.
That's impossible. If you only saw that 1 year, that snapshot, you'd think, wow, their admin costs are basically zero. How efficient.
Right. You'd think they were run by the most dedicated volunteers on earth. But in the context of the years before, it's a 99.92% drop.
Which is not a thing that happens in the real world.
And they didn't fire the company. The tax form still lists them. Plus, Schedule O, which is the part of the form where you're supposed to explain weird stuff.
Yeah.
It was blank. No explanation.
But what about their own report to donors? The, you know, the glossy brochure.
That makes it even stranger. In their activity report, they mention a slight reduction in admin costs.
A slight reduction. Dropping from 28 grand to 20 bucks is not slight. That's a collapse.
It suggests something is very wrong. Either the tax form has a huge error nobody caught, or they just stopped paying for professional management.
And the automated watchdog sites see that super low number and give them a gold star for efficiency.
The algorithm rewards the anomaly. It sees low cost, it thinks good charity. It can't see impossible number and think broken system.
So their expenses are a total mystery. What about their assets? If they're not spending on management, they must be giving it all away to students, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
But the data shows they're prioritizing their bank account over their mission. It's a hoarding pattern.
Hoarding feels like a strong word. I mean, don't charities need a rainy day fund?
They do, but you have to look at the goals they set for themselves. Back in 2006, their own plan was to build up their assets to $100,000 and then start giving out major awards.
A reasonable strategy. Build an endowment.
And they hit that goal in 2010.
But they didn't start spending.
No, they just kept saving. Today, their assets are around $417,000. they've quadrupled their own target.
4 times the money they said they needed to start really helping people.
And Dr. Kasser ran the numbers for the last 5 years. For every $1 they gave out in grants, they put $1.41 back into their own savings.
So they're saving way more than they're giving.
In just those 5 years, they socked away another $88,000.
Let's put that in real terms. What's an average scholarship for them?
Around $10,000.
So that 88 grand isn't just a number. That's 8 or 9 students who didn't get a scholarship.
That's the opportunity cost. Exactly. 8 or 9 careers that could have been launched, but the foundation chose to grow its balance instead.
And when they do give, the pattern is, what did Kasser call it? A heart murmur.
Yeah, it's all over the place. 1 year, it's $3,500 in grants. Mm. The next, it spikes to $21,000. Then it's back down. It suggests there's no real strategy. It's reactive.
Like someone remembers at the end of the year, oh, we should probably give some money away.
It feels that way, which points to a bigger problem with who is actually running the show.
And that brings us to a checkbox on the tax form.
Yeah.
It seems so boring, but the implication is just staggering.
It's the record-keeping question. The IRS asks, very simply, if the organization maintains records to back up its grants and who gets them.
In plain English, do you keep your receipts?
It's governance 101. And for 5 years straight, from 2020 to 2024, the Nkosi Foundation checked no.
Hang on. They admitted to the federal government that they don't keep records of where the money goes.
They self-reported it. Check the box. No.
I don't even know what to say to that. How does that square with their marketing?
It doesn't. Their 2024 activity report, the one for donors, it brags about their global programs.
Yeah.
They list projects in Brazil, Colombia, Nigeria, Kenya.
Global impact. That's a great fundraising line.
But it's a legal nightmare if you're not careful. Sending money overseas requires what the IRS calls expenditure responsibility.
Which means
you have to track every single penny. You have to prove it's being used for charity and not, you know, for crime. You need airtight records.
But they just told the IRS they don't keep any records.
Exactly. So either they're sending money abroad illegally without the required oversight,
or
they're not sending money abroad at all. And if you look at the tax form, it reports $0 in foreign grants.
So the brochure says global charity, but the tax return says domestic only.
It's an identity crisis.
Yeah.
And it even extends to where they're physically located.
Oh, right. The geography thing. Their website says they're a California corporation.
But the articles of incorporation were filed in Washington State.
Okay, maybe they moved at some point.
Well, if you check with the state of California, their registration there is listed as terminated.
Terminated. But they kept using a California address on their tax forms for 16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just points to a deep lack of attention to detail. It feels like no one is home.
Which leads us to the board of directors, the people who are supposed to be home. This is where the interlocking directorates issue comes in.
Right. And it's a crucial point. We need to be specific here. Since 2008, the foundation's board has been filled with the leadership of INCOS.
So the officers and fellows of the trade association.
Yes. The people running the member group are also the people running the public charity.
And that's a problem because their goals can conflict, right? The trade group serves members. The charity serves the public.
It's a classic conflict of interest. The charity's resources can be used to benefit the trade association's agenda instead of the public good.
Did they have any rules in place to prevent that?
They did. Their own bylaws said that no more than 2/3 of the board could be current or former Nkosi leaders.
To make sure there was some independence.
Exactly. But they violated that rule. For 8 consecutive years, from 2013 to 2021, they stacked the board with insiders way past their own limit.
It's like the rules are just suggestions.
It's what Dr. Kasser calls checkbox governance. On the tax form, the IRS asks, do you have a conflict of interest policy? They check yes.
Okay.
Then the next question is, do you require disclosure of conflicts? They check no. Do you monitor it? No.
That is amazing. They have a policy, but they admit they don't use it or check on it.
It's purely for show.
Yeah.
And when you see the time commitment, it all starts to make sense. The forms ask how many hours a week the directors work.
And the answer is?
1. Every single director lists exactly 1 hour per week.
1 hour to run a global charity with a $500,000 portfolio.
The total board effort is about 11 or 12 hours a week. It's impossible. The whole thing is on autopilot.
And when you're on autopilot, you miss things.
You miss huge things. The full board hasn't even reviewed the Form 990 since 2020. Only the chair signs it. So that $20 fee, the no records check mark, the rest of the board probably never even saw it.
So why does this one case matter to someone who isn't a systems engineer?
Because it's a lesson in how we measure good. We've been taught to look for efficiency, low spending. Mm. We need to look for effectiveness. Is the organization competently run? Does it actually do what it says it does?
It seems like even INCOS's own members aren't convinced. The study notes that less than 2% of them actually participate in the foundation.
When the original goal was 80%, that's a staggering failure of engagement. It's just the people who know the leadership best either don't trust the charity or don't even know it exists.
Okay, so this is all pretty bleak, but Dr. Kasser does offer a solution, right? 6 questions to ask instead of just looking at the star rating.
Right. You don't have to be an accountant. Just look at the forms. First, legal status. Does the website match the state registration? If not, that's a red flag for sloppiness.
Number 2.
Management. Look at the fees over time. If you see a bizarre drop like that $20 mystery, be suspicious.
Number 3.
Control. Who's on the board?
Yeah.
If it's just a puppet for another organization, walk away.
4.
Assets. Are they hoarding or spending?
Hmm.
If they save more than they give year after year, they're not really a charity.
5.
Records. This one's easy. If they check the box that says they don't keep records, just run.
And the last one, number 6.
International. Do their marketing claims match their tax filings?
Hmm.
If the brochure says global, but the IRS forms say 0 foreign grants, something's not right.
Now, what about AI? Couldn't I just ask my AI assistant, is this a good charity? And get the answer.
Dr. Kasser has a clear warning on that. Trust but verify. An AI is great at summarizing. It'll scrape Charity Navigator, see the 4 stars, and tell you it's an efficient charity.
So we'll make the same mistake we do. It sees the snapshot.
Exactly. It trusts the badge. Unless you specifically tell it to look for patterns over time, to compare multiple years of data, to check bylaws against board lists, it's going to miss the real story.
The robot isn't going to save us from making bad donations yet.
No. Human logic is still required to see the cracks.
You know, there's a real irony here that we have to end on.
Mm-hmm.
This is a foundation for systems engineers, the very people whose job is to design and analyze complex systems to prevent failure.
It's the ultimate irony, isn't it? If the absolute experts in systems can build a system this broken with so many failures, what does that say about all the other charities out there that you support?
It says you have to stop trusting the dashboard and actually pop the hood yourself.
Don't just look at the rating. Look at the timeline.
Well, I will definitely never look at a donate now button the same way again. That's our deep dive for today.
Ask the hard questions.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems. Take care.